This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to Bank Sunday. Jay Binkley and Kramer, Crane Dog, who's my Sunday afternoon guy. And actually, Kramer and I have worked many different shows together. Good morning, Kramer. Welcome to Bink Sunday on what is a All-Star Week is out. It's training camp going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice little fun little week, and then we're going to be getting to the full swing of things of training camp.
Yeah, they say last week was All-Star Week, which, you know, there's not much going on, admittedly. You have the one day of the year there's no pro sports on this past week. We had the Astros and Rangers, the only game on Thursday night, but the Tyreek Hill news with the 610 Sports Radio and Carrington and the Sports Machine and BK releasing that audio, which I'm glad they did. It had the full context of the Tyreek Hill audio, and we'll find out soon what's going on with Tyreek Hill. The NFL put three suspensions out on Friday. They did not address Tyreek Hill. I still lean towards no suspension for Tyreek Hill. Maybe I'm a wishful thinker, but I'm still at the camp that there might not be anything there. There might not be anything there. He might have exonerated himself. So we'll see what happens to Tyreek Hill. Would I be shocked if they gave him four games or two games? I would not be shocked. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if they got away. The NFL's trying to kiss up to the players right now because of the CBA. They want to get the CBA actually done early because it expires after the 2020 season. So the NFL, which they want to make 18 games now, that's what the NFL wants. The players' union said, no, we'll get to that in a little bit. But, Kramer, we were talking just a few minutes ago, before the show started. You live up in St. Joe, so you're right there in the backyard of the Kansas City Chiefs building that team for the 2019 season, 2020 Super Bowl. But you live right there.
About four blocks away.
Four blocks away. So you're excited about Chiefs trade. Is St. Joe ready?
It's been ready. It's been ready for about this entire month.
Well, what's going on up there? Is there signs up there? Say the Chiefs coming in 9 days? Did they say that? Okay. So St. Joe's ready.
Yes.
St. Joe is lucky that Andy Reid's here, too, because I love training camp being away. I do. I think it's fun to go to training camp, but it's not at the facility. Many of these teams moving back, you know, to the facility. And I've seen what's done to Missouri Western. That's not your crib. You went to Northwest Missouri State, but you see what it's done with the practice facility and everything else. Andy Reid likes having practices away. He did at Lehigh when he was in Philadelphia. Philadelphia Eagles are now down to one practice in front of the public. It's amazing. The Texans have limited their practices to the public. But Andy Reid still has training camp up at St. Joe, which I'm glad for because I think it's fun. I lived there at William Jewell. I love when the Chiefs were up in Minnesota even, going up there for a weekend with your dad, seeing what's going on, seeing the practices. But training camp is always fun. 9 days. That's it. That's right. Because last week we talked about 2 weeks away, a little more than 2 weeks away. 9 days till quarterbacks and rookies show up. That means 9 days until Patrick Mahomes shows up. 10 days till the first practice. 10 days. 12 days till the veterans report. So when Anthony Sherman wears the fun stuff. 12 days until that. 13 days until the first open practice to the public. That's less than 2 weeks. It's on a Saturday. That's going to be the first open practice for the public. 27 days until the Cincinnati Bengals. I like to give that update because I think people get surprised at how just football hits you. You go through summer. Well, you get to summer, then it's all right. You're looking forward to the 4th of July. Then once the 4th of July hits, then all of a sudden you have All-Star break, and then boom, you've got the NFL. It just sneaks upon you, and all of a sudden you have NFL football, which the NFL has essentially made football a 12-month-a-year thing. There's just always something going on. I mean, we had OTAs, mini camp the last couple months, and the draft. Then we got training camp at the end of the month here. And then, of course, preseason football in August. You get into the regular season in September. You go all the way till the Super Bowl, then repeat. Then the Senior Bowl, you get ready for the combine, you get ready for the draft, so on and so forth. And then the NFL just keeps going. Endless cycle. I'm sitting here watching Hard Knocks on NFL Network. They encapsulated some of that with the Browns. I'm just getting fired up. Getting fired up for training camp, fired up for football. But anyway, we'll get plenty of football coming up. Matt Lane, ArrowheadPride.com, joins us at 10:30. Talk about some musings in the NFL and what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. Our text line, Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line, 69306. Phone number 913-576-7610. Today, Homer Bailey versus Jordan Zimmerman. Royals are ahead of the Tigers in the standings. They have four more wins. And they're also ahead of them in percentage points. The Royals have passed the Tigers. Jordan Zimmerman, what's going on with this guy? 0-6, 6-2-9 this year. Homer Bailey at 7-6 and a 4-8-0. Homer Bailey's pitched well. And again, this is Dayton Moore fine. Go out and get a guy like Homer Bailey. Everybody was giving up on him. And look what he's doing. But the Royals, two wins after the break. They dropped 9 of 11 before the break. So maybe a new beginning. 41 games under 500 before the break last year. 5 games under 500 the second half of the season. So we'll see what happens with Homer Bailey. Cody Tapp comes your way in about an hour and 55 minutes for Cody's On Deck show. Whit Merrifield, by the way, guy's still killing. 11-game hitting streak. 6 career hitting streaks of 11-plus games. Longest active hitting streak in baseball. You surprised about this? Leads Major League Baseball in hits. He's now gone 116 games. We keep the Whit meter going 116 consecutive games since the last time he went 2-plus games without a hit. Bubba Starling, he did something yesterday, Crame Dog. He gets the first hit. He gets an RBI. And we talked a lot about Bubba Starling on Friday in this town. 20th Royal to be born in Kansas City and actually play for the Kansas City Royals. It's a great story. I don't know if you saw the video Friday night. It's making its way on Twitter. Miguel Cabrera was joking that the ovation was for him. I mean, it's a great ovation that Bubba Starling got when he went to the plate. Miguel Cabrera's at the edge of the dugout, kind of looking at the crowd and waving to him, thinking, I mean, he's joking, obviously. But keep in mind, Miggy likes Kansas City. Kansas City's where he's got his triple crown, and the fans are great. I remember that night. It was like 6,000 walk-up fans. It was a ton to see Miguel Cabrera get the triple crown, which he got here in Kansas City. Kansas City gave him a standing ovation, and he's always liked it. But he was joking. It was Bubba Starling coming to the plate. But it was cool. And I don't care where you were in the city, what bar you were at, what restaurant, when Bubba Starling walked to the plate, I'm sure it got quiet. I'm sure it got quiet as the local guy had his first at-bat for the Kansas City Royals. It's a different type of thing. We talked about it a lot on Friday. For me, Bubba Starling coming up here was an exhale moment. With Moose and Hosmer and these guys, Duffy, when these guys got to the Royals, is all right, these are a fixture for the future. And hopefully Bubba can be that with the Kansas City Royals. But to me, it was like, finally. Because I covered Bubba in high school as a football player, the second best player I've ever seen play high school football in this town. And that's debatable. I get it. Because every time I put that out there, I get debates. But I've covered high school football for a long time. Darren Sproles, obviously, is number one to me. But seeing Bubba Starling yesterday do this, and when this happens, a lot of things go through your head.
It appears that Bubba Starling is pretty selective. He's 26 years old, so he's been around. Ground ball into left field. Starling's first big league hit ties the game. So a big hand for Bubba Starling. And for him and the Royals, they obviously hope that is the first of many.
Sports, man. Sports is a way of doing something for you. That's one thing I like about sports. It's why I'm in this profession. It's why I do this. I love sports. And I love Kansas City sports. Born, raised here. And I heard Brandon Kiley yesterday, BK, and I thought it was a great point. And he had said that, you know, he had gone to Mizzou. And then he'd worked at Mizzou a year after in one of the stations down there after he graduated. Then he went to St. Louis. But he was passed over for jobs in Kansas City. You know, he had applied for them. I always knew he did. I always knew Brandon Kiley would end up here. He's too good. Too good at what he does, and I think we all know that. But he's too good at what he does, and I knew he'd get back here. But he was a hometown guy from Blue Springs High School, the one to do radio here. And myself, I went to Oak Park here in Kansas City, North Kansas City Public School District, north of the river here, and I had another job when I got out of Pittsburgh State, and I was about 36 years old, and I started doing a podcast called Three Guys in a Garage, still my Twitter handle. It was just three dudes sitting around drinking beer, talking sports. We had a regular job, but we did this because we wanted to get in the radio. It's what we wanted to do. This is our hometown. I'm not good enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not agile enough to ever play professional sports. So this is the next best thing to me. I mean, I can't coach either, obviously. I mean, we sit here and we criticize coaches like Andy Reid and Eddie, whatever. But it's ridiculous. These guys know so much more than we do because we just talk sports. And we talk Chiefs, what I did all of my life. I've always liked sports radio. But I ended up where I wanted to be. A lot of people want to be in New York. A lot of people want to be in Chicago. And I'll never forget when I got my first gig, full-time job at 610 Sports Radio back in 2012. You know, I was younger. I was 38 at that time. Maybe getting in the third, so I was late. But I was doing it in my hometown. And when I see guys like Bubba Starling, you know, finally materialize and reach his dreams of playing baseball for the Kansas City Royals. The guy's got more athletic ability than you care to know. It's one of the most athletic guys ever to come out of the city. And it took him a while. It took him a while to put it all together in baseball. I heard BK talk about, you know, doing radio here in Kansas City. You know, it means something. To me, it means something when somebody local does something that they want to do, chases their dreams, and follows. That's sports, man. That's sports. Sports to me is watching the Angels and what they did Friday night. They were honoring Tyler Skaggs. They had his mom throw out the first pitch. They all wore 45. They had a big 45 on the mound. Then what happens? Combined no-hitter. Are you kidding me? You're honoring Tyler Skaggs, and you throw a combined no-hitter. Sports, man. Sports has a way just to grab you. And just we were, you know, feeling good about Bubba Starling. I'm watching what the Angels did with Tyler Skaggs, you know, honoring their teammate. That's sports, man. And then I'm watching Patrick Mahomes' video throwing the football out of the stadium. I was like, man, we're lucky in Kansas City. You know, we're having fun. Patrick, we had a quarterback going out there throwing the ball out of stadiums. We got Bubba Starling, our local product, playing for the Kansas City Royals. And it feels good. And we should celebrate that. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the future for Bubba Starling? I don't know. I'm rooting for the guy. And I'll be honest, I'm rooting for the guy. Do I root for the guy more than others? Probably. Why? He's from here. It makes a difference. It makes a difference because we don't have a ton of players come out of the city. Now, we're getting more and more. More and more guys are drafted out of Kansas City in Major League Baseball. We've seen pro football guys from this area go on and do great things. Unfortunately, Drew Locke's playing for the Broncos. I so bad wished he was in the NFC, but it's not. Good kid, good family. But I like seeing this. Evan Bain played Lee Summer West, lineman. Always likes coming on the show. I always like having him on because, you know, he talks local stuff. It's a local guy done well and made the National Football League. But that's sports, man. And Tyler Skaggs, that's another reason I watch it. You know, I watch it for golf and to see what happens, the great stories, you know, at the majors, to see what happens. We watch football to see a quarterback kind of transition the city. The Royals, not too far from winning a world championship in 2015. It made this whole city feel better. You didn't care about the potholes. You filled out the survey for the city. You didn't care about any of that because your team won. And that's one thing about sports. And that's what I've always liked about it. It's always different. It's always new. People like reality television. There's no better reality television than sports. There's just not. Seeing a hometown kid go to the home plate, seeing the hometown kid get a hit yesterday in an RBI, sports, man. Seeing the Angels honor their teammate and throw a combined no-hitter, sports, man. It's what it does. He reaches out and grabs you. You know, you can watch your Real Housewives. You can watch all your reality shows. You can watch your Bachelor. You can watch your Bachelorette. But you know what? A lot of that's staged. Sports is not staged. Sports is organic. It just happens. Great storylines happen. Tiger Woods, you know, restructures himself, gets back to the top. Sports, man. It's what it does. It grabs us and encapsulates us, and this is why we enjoy this so much. Matt Lane, arrowheadpride.com, comes up at 10:30. Coming up next, Bubba. What'd Bubba have to say after the game? We'll talk some more Bubba before we move on to the Kansas City Chiefs next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. We'll talk to Matt Lane, arrowheadpride.com, talking Chiefs at 10:30. Jay Binkley, Kramer, running the operation in here as well, the Kramer dog. Bubba Starling, of course, gets that hit yesterday. And RBI, here was Bubba Starling after the game.
When it matters in the game, too. I mean,
yeah, it means a lot. Actually, I was talking to a dude, and I was like, when did you get your first hit? And he said he went through a long stretch before he got his. And I was like, man, I hope I don't get to that point. But awesome to get that first knock out of the way.
And especially important, too, when it matters in the game, too. I mean,
yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought our team did a great job. Obviously, Brad threw the ball so good tonight. And just a great win tonight.
Did that kind of snap the bat a little bit?
It got in on me a little bit, but knock is a knock, so I'll take it. Yep.
Obviously, it's a key moment in the game. You guys down?
Just not try to do too much. I think in my third at bat, I had guys on first and second. And I got a little swing happy. So in that bat prior to that, just try to get a good pitch and I don't know, try to do something with it.
How much fun is it in center field when you see a pitcher throwing first pitch strikes and attacking hitters?
Oh,
like
he was pounding the zone all night. He did an unbelievable job. It makes it easy on us position players. We don't have to do too much out there. So hats off to him. Did a great job.
Bubba Starling in the lineup once again today because what they said is, you know, he's going to get here to the major leagues and they're going to play him. No, it was a great scene. I mean, seeing his mom and dad, you know, all the time that they put, all the effort, you know, keeping Bubba, you know, playing Major League Baseball, keeping his head, keeping himself focused to get into the major leagues. That was cool. I mean, that was cool. It was a cool moment. And I know a lot of people, you know, saw it and were affected by it. Now, those that said, no, big deal, you know, it was a big deal. It was a big deal to the over 4,000 people that walked up to the game. It's been a walked up. It's been enjoyable for everybody. And today, same deal. Bat seventh, sandwiched between Duda and Nicky Lopez today. But Bubba Starling making his debut this weekend. And it was everything I thought it would be. It was cool. Good walk-up crowd. I think we'll get attendance. People waited for this for a long time. Never realized this materialized. And again, I felt an exhale with Bubba Starling getting here. Now, if he would have got here, you know, 3-4 years ago, you'd say, well, could this be a fixture for the future? Still just a shade younger than Whit Merrifield when Whit Merrifield made his debut. But it was one of those things. We sat here and we waited for it. Here was Dayton Moore when he was on Friday with Fesco in the Morning. Full interview on demand, 610sports.com. On why now for Bubba Starling.
To me, it's everything happens for a reason. And he's probably more prepared mentally and physically to play in the major leagues than it ever in his career, truthfully. And what he had to persevere through, injuries, setbacks, failure, keep pushing. Of course, he always had that man in his ear about, hey, look, you can abandon this process. You can go play football. I know he felt pressure from time to time to do just that from, you know, people associated with certain football programs. And so, but what he did, he just kept going and kept grinding and kept pushing and kept believing. And to do that in just the normalest of circumstances is difficult. But to do it in your own backyard where there is so much excitement, expectations that you're trying to fulfill. I mean, it's been an unbelievable journey for him. It's been, as I said, so much a commitment on his part to continue to persevere, and I'm as proud of him and what he's accomplished than any player that we've really been around through the minor leagues. Because, I mean, again, just to do it with all those expectations and all the pressure and in his own backyard, it's just been amazing. And so, you know, Bob, look, he showed up to spring training, and you could tell that. You know, he was a little different. He was having more fun. He was enjoying himself. He was kind of letting the game come to him a little bit. He was kind of backing off that football mentality somewhat and just going out enjoying playing baseball and enjoying being with his teammates. And he started having success, and he went to Omaha. He continued with that success. He was consistent as any player that we've had there. And, you know, we thought about probably about, you know, 2 weeks ago, let's go ahead and bring him up. And then we felt that, you know what, he's going to be playing in the All-Star game. He got picked to play in the AAA All-Star game. That's a big deal to be able to participate in that game at that level. And we wanted that to be a part of his resume, a part of his continued building to go out there and perform in an All-Star game, continue to have fun, enjoy the festivities surrounding an All-Star game. And so, I had Lonnie Goldberg and J.J. Piccolo call him the other night after the game and said, hey, you know what, congratulations, you've earned it. You're going to be in the major leagues and you're going to be playing for your hometown team, and we're proud.
That's cool. That's a cool story. Let the guys that scouted him out make that phone call. That was cool. Unselfish by Dayton Moore, let those guys do it. And that was fun. It was fun for those guys to do. You know, speaking of Whit Merrifield and the Kansas City Royals, think about this. Whit, as I mentioned earlier, 11-game hitting streak, hitting .386 in that span, last 11 games. Five doubles, eight runs, six walks. Six career hitting streak of 11 games or more. Longest active streak in baseball. 19-game on-base streak, tied with Ronald Acuna Jr. for the longest streak in baseball. And as we mentioned, 116 games where he has had a hit. He has not gone two straight games without a hit in 116. Ichiro did it back in 2006 where he had 180 games. Can Whit get to there? I wouldn't doubt him getting there. It's unbelievable. He continues. He continues to be kind of the guy off the grid, off the radar in Major League Baseball. I mean, he's talked about in some circles in fantasy baseball. Certainly players know a lot about Whit, but a lot of people don't. Leads Major League Baseball by five hits. Five hits. He's got more. He could lead Major League Baseball two straight years in hits. Last player to lead Major League Baseball in hits was Ichiro. Five straight is what he led the MLB in hits, 2006 to 2010. It's unbelievable. Last right-handed hitter to lead MLB in hits in back-to-back seasons, Kirby Puckett in 88-89. Of stats courtesy of David Holtzman from Fox Sports Kansas City. Think about that. Last right-handed hitter to lead Major League Baseball in back-to-back seasons, Kirby Puckett. I mean, his name is up there with the great ones. But just the unassuming Whit Merrifield that took forever, was in the minor leagues forever, took forever to get to Kansas City. Hopefully some good things happen with Bubba. Coming up next, we talk Kansas City Chiefs. Talk this ridiculous maybe 18-game season. And when can we expect news on Tyreek Hill? We ask Matt Lane next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Kramer, producing the operation. We are real close to training camp. 9 days till quarterbacks and rookies show up. 10 days till the first practice. 12 days till the veterans report. 13 days until the first public practice. 27 days until the Chiefs and the Bengals. Joining us now, Matt Lane, ArrowheadPride.com and draft analyst. Does everything. ArrowheadPride.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Chief in Carolina. Matt, good morning. When I say those things, does it seem real or not when I say 9 days till quarterbacks and rookies show up?
It seems real. We've gone a long time now, it seems like. It seems like it has been practically 10 years since we've gotten some real football action going on. So it's time.
Do you feel like I did when the season was over? It was almost like, no, it can't end right now. It can't end like this. It can't end like this. And this offseason has felt, honestly, as soon as that game was over, and I know you guys went hard to work on your draft guide and everything else at Arrowhead Pride, but to me, it seems like the season never stopped. And it didn't stop from Holmes. He's regrouping. He wanted to keep playing. But it seems like this has been one continuation from last year.
Yeah, that's kind of, like you said, with our draft guide that we worked on, it kind of led, once the season ended, we didn't really have much more than that night to really gather ourselves and just be just fans before we had to get back to work or even more work on stuff. But up until we had the break here before training camp, it seemed like it was still just all one season. There just news kept coming, things kept happening, there was still a bunch of excitement around, and then you finally got to this real dead period, and it slowed down quite a bit. So it was a good refresher, gave everybody a chance to get back, relax, separate themselves from football a little bit, because it's going to be another long, wild season for everybody, and I'm ready for it. It's about time now.
Man, I cannot wait. Did you see what the NFL was thinking about doing? You know they want to try to get the CBA done now, even though they technically have till after the 2020 season. NFL owners reportedly, and the NFLPA just shot this down, want to have an 18-game season with a 16-game limit for players. Can you imagine the chess work and figuring out which games you're going to sit Mahomes?
I mean, it's a terrible idea. I'm glad that it got shot down immediately. But, yeah, that was a wild proposal. Unlike a lot of other people, especially like Kent and Craig that also work at Arrowhead Pride, I think I'm a little bit on the other side. I would like to see an 18-game season. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I don't know how you're going to splice it up. But you're getting 20 games between the regular season and preseason. I'd rather see 18 regular season games. But to make it work, I'd offer up another bye week and not the limits on starts. If I were the NFL, now I'm not sure what the Players Association is going to agree to. I think they want to get rid of just games altogether, and there's no way the NFL is going to cut the games down to 18 with the preseason and regular season. So if you're looking for a compromise, I'm hoping we get 18 games with two bye weeks. But that decision to offer up, or the choice to even give them the option to play 16 games, but you or only play 16 games, but you have to play 18 total, was a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean, putting a limit on players when they play, but I'm with you on that. And I'm with you on that second bye week. You know, you want to have player safety and everything else, give them that. But I see no reason why you can't have 18 games. Preseason has become a watered-down joke at this point, like Major League Baseball spring training. To be honest with you, the only value is for the pitchers. That's it, to play that many games. NFL players are in better shape. They're ready to go. Spring training in baseball used to be to get shape and all this. But then these guys, the NFL goes all year with the OTAs and minicamp and everything else. They put their installs in and everything else. It does no good. And there's no reason you can't have an 18-game season, because – stats aren't as hallowed in the NFL as they are in other sports. I mean, OJ lost his rushing record when he had it in 14 games, and Dickerson got it in 16, but we don't seem to care about that.
Right, and I think the bigger holdup rather than stats is going to be more contracts, because every contract would have to be redone if players are going to be playing 18 real games, full games and stuff like that. But it's stuff that you work out. That's part of the CBA agreement. That's part of your discussion. So I think it could be done, and I don't know if it'll happen this CBA or the next one, but I do think the NFL is trending that way. Nobody likes preseason games. The NFL just likes games in general, whether it's preseason, regular season, it doesn't really matter. So if the players really want out of preseason games, they're going to have to play 18 regular season games. Like I said, the NFL would have no issue extending their regular season an extra week to add another bye week in there. It still just needs more money for them. So I think that's the way to go, and I'm with you. Most teams, or the two most successful coaches of the last decade, and Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll, they considered September football essentially extended preseason. They've talked about it numerous times, and they just use that time to get their team right. And, yeah, winning games in September matters, but adding two extra regular season games, no matter where you want to put them, the beginning of the season is still just going to be teams trying to figure everything out for the home stretch to get that playoff push.
Yeah, the money is not a problem. NFL teams split a record $8.78 billion in revenue. Each team got about $274 million. That's not too bad, Matt. That is not too bad at all. What do you I know that we did that fun thing on Twitter where Arrowhead Pride put out, you know, your comeback player of the year, your MVP, you know, that you put your names out there. Pete did his, I did mine. But let me ask you this, though. Pull your crystal ball out. What's the one thing that when this season's done, we're going to be talking about? Could be a player, could be the defense, could be the offense, could be the coaching staff. What's the one thing that this season, because last year that was the season of Mahomes. What are we going to be saying after this season?
I think you're going to be, the most of the talk is going to be about Sammy Watkins. I think if Sammy Watkins is healthy, and this is a big if, so I mean, that's why it kind of makes it a hard one to predict. But if Sammy Watkins is healthy, I think the second year here in Andy Reid's offense, I think he'll start to really show back to the same kind of hype that got him drafted as that first wide receiver in his draft class, to get him that top 10 pick. He showed the promise of this rookie in his second year with the Bills, where everybody thought he was kind of on his way to becoming the premier wide receiver in the NFL. Not just one of the most talented, but actually producing on the field like it. And I think at the end of the season, barring another injury, I think Sammy Watkins is going to be a huge talking point in Kansas City, because he's on the books for a lot of money next year. But if he plays the way that I think he's going to this year, it's really not going to be a question of if they're going to pay him or not, because they're going to want him on this team as well as I think he's going to be.
Let me ask you this then. If you think it's crazy that I say the defense, because right now, when every publication puts something, a story out about the Chiefs, they never talk about the defense. They talk about the defense being bad and holding the Chiefs back. They don't really talk about this scheme change and Spags and Matt House and Brendan Daly and all this. I think, honestly, the story that people will be writing about after 2019 is how Mahomes finally has a defense that he hasn't had at all through his playing career.
Yeah, I almost went with some defensive star power. I think Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu are going to be huge talking points this year. I think both are going to have great seasons. I think there's some people that think that Tyrann Mathieu is a little bit on the decline, but I think he's getting healthy from his injury. He's going to be in a better spot this year with the Chiefs. You're going to hear a lot of positivity from him. And Frank Clark is going to more than make up for the shoes left by Justin Houston or Dee Ford. I think he's a little underrated by Chiefs fans just because he hasn't been quite as flashy. But when you start to follow and you dive through the people that cover the entire NFL and cover drafts and stuff that have worked in the NFL, people love Frank Clark as a player. It's just he's not as publicly, to the general public, he's not as loved. So I think those two guys will be talked about a lot, and the defense will certainly be better. I'm just not sure they're going to be ready in year one with a new defensive system that's relatively deep. It's a deep system. If you've been following the summer of Spag, there's a lot of stuff that goes into a Steve Spagnuolo defense. I expect this year to have some growing pains, but next year is where I really expect to see a huge jump in overall team defense.
You know what's funny is you go back and look at things. You go back and look at, you know, Pat Mahomes losing playoff games in high school, scoring 50 and 60 points. And then we know that defense at Texas Tech and the defense last year. I just think that could be one of the bigger storylines. As far as training camp here in less than 2 weeks, so actually a little over a week, What are we going to be looking at the most? Because I'm going to talk about this later as far as what's the most interesting thing to me regarding the Chiefs training camp. And I have wide receivers and running backs because I'm really interested in those two positions and what they can provide and who will step up, because I think there's some uncertainty in both positions.
Yeah, I think those two are good ones. I would add quarterback kind of into that same realm. Is I think there's definitely a competition to be had for your third and fourth cornerbacks. They're playing a new system again, so you're just gonna. I'm wanting to see who's gonna step up in all three of those positions. Who's gonna really start to click this year? There's all position battles are always some of the most fun parts about training camp, so I'm excited for any of these position battles. But I think those are the three big ones. Although running back now with kind of James Williams, I think you're starting to see the lineage or kind of like what the plan is at running back. You know, Damien Williams is gonna be the guy. He's gonna get most of the work. I think Darwin Thompson is going to be a change of pace running back. He's going to come in for third downs and stuff like that more often than anything else. And Carlos Hyde is going to be another interior power runner. But I think that one's trying to shape it up a little bit now as they start to get closer. But you never know what's going to happen. And wide receiver and quarterback, after the top two spots at each, I think it's pretty wide open.
Who you taking, Chase Litton or Kyle Shurmur?
Personally, I would go with Kyle Shurmur. But I do know that Chase Litton's been in the system. They seem to like him a little bit. So if they want to stick with Chase Litton, that's okay. I'm not sure that either one make the team, however. I think one or both of them, probably just one's going to make the practice squad again. And I would lean towards Shurmur just because I wasn't thrilled with what I saw from Chase Litton last year, but he's been in the system, so that kind of gives him a huge bonus over Shurmur.
They would like the 18-game season because it could be a backup at least 1 week. These guys would love it. I'm actually, and this sounds ridiculous, man, we are geeks about football. I think the whole Jack Fox, Dustin Colquitt will be fun to watch as well. The punters.
Yeah, and I think if there was a chance that cutting Dustin Colquitt would actually save money, then I think it would be more of a real competition. But if the Chiefs get rid of Colquitt, they save no money from it. I actually believe it cost them money the way his contract was structured. So I don't know if it's much of a competition or just a way to bring in Jack Fox, get him around the team because he's going to be a guy that they're looking for next year. But it'll be interesting. If he comes in and outkicks Dustin Colquitt, I don't put it beyond Brett Veach to make the move. Just if it's anywhere close, I imagine Dustin Colquitt still gets a nod just based purely on his contract.
See, and I lean towards Pete as well. If you're in a Super Bowl season, you want the experience of a Dustin Colquitt. That's who you want. It's not going to affect the Chiefs money-wise or not, whether Dustin Colquitt. I mean, it could save – it may or may not save money. But having Jack Fox – here's my problem. You put this kid on the practice squad, he's so good, he could be poached and put on a 53, in my opinion. He is so good – that he'd be grabbed by an NFL team and he'd be their punter because he's got to play on the active roster. But he's the type of guy I could see being poached like a Butker and make a team.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it would be. It would be the Harrison Butker situation just in reverse. But I think it's like you said, it's a Super Bowl window. It's a risk you got to be willing to take because there's no way you can use two roster spots on a punter. So it's going to be just whoever wins the job for the Chiefs is here. The other one likely at some point in time this season gets a contract from somebody else, whether due to injury or just somebody playing poorly.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most excited, where do you sit?
Oh, I'm at a 10 right now.
Okay.
We're getting down there. We're at a 10. I'm ready to see these guys get some pads on, start to get some more updates. I want to see more about Frank Clark. I want to see Tyrann Mathieu. I want to see these guys with this defense and just get more information on how that whole culture of the defense is changing. It's been one of my favorite storylines this offseason. So I'm ready to get more news from that. I got some friends and people going to training camp that they'll be able to report back, plus on top of all the great coverage we already get. So I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for Craig Stout actually to be writing about a defense that's really good every week instead of pointing out everything that went wrong, because Stout's got to be the happiest guy at Arrowhead Pride.
Oh yeah, he is. It was rough last year having to listen to him talk about, you know, the defense that he's charting and just how rough it's been, and then we had Kent on the other hand who just getting to sit there and talk about Patrick Mahomes every day. So it was stark difference last year, and I hope that gap's closing a bit this year.
Yeah, it was tough. That's right. I mean, if you want to talk about tough on Kent, he had to find issues with Mahomes, which you can't. It's theoretically impossible. But anyway, Matt, I always enjoy talking football with you. We're almost there the next time we talk. I mean, we'll probably be 1 or 2 days away from training camp, and can't wait to talk to you as this thing progresses, and we'll talk about the battles and see what's going on the field.
Thanks, Davey. Always a blast to come on here. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. There's Matt Lane, Arrowhead Pride, right there. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Chief in Carolina. No, seriously, Kareem, I was looking back at some of Mahomes' high school, the White House. You know, you'd get to playoffs and they score like 60 points or whatever, or 50 points and lose the game. And I'm thinking, has he ever had a defense? Because I don't care about regular season. I'm talking about postseason, what they did. At Texas Tech, he did not have a defense, which I think served Mahomes better last year with the Chiefs. He had to carry the same mentality, the same killer mentality he had at Texas Tech. And that was, when he's on the field, he needs to score a touchdown, just like his classic battle a couple years ago against Baker Mayfield, when they combined for like 1,300 passing yards between the both of them. There was that pressure when he gets on the field. No, field goals are unacceptable. You need a touchdown. And I think that killer mentality, you know, get ready, loaded, score that touchdown, did him favors with the Chiefs, because there were several times this year when they'd score 50 or 40 and lose. I was thinking back to Mahomes at Texas Tech, which I watched a lot of them in the Texas Tech Red Raiders when he was there.
I think on this now, he's going to have – it's going to be amazing. He's going to have a defense now, finally, but he's already prepared himself, it seemed like, for, well, of course, last season, because there was – I mean, we would say there's no defense there, but there still was. But it's going to be amazing to see Mahomes out there with a defense.
Yeah, I'm just going to see what happens, because he still gets the mentality score every time. Let him do it. Let him light it up again. 35 points a game, let him do it. Let him score 35 a game with the defense giving up 16, 17 points a game. Win games by a couple touchdowns. Make it easy. Throw some Chad Henne at the end of games in, because you don't need Mahomes to get hurt. From the Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line. Is it too early to be crushing beers? The answer is no. Go ahead and do it. Coming up next, speaking of Mahomes, he threw a ball out of a stadium the other day, Kramer. We need to dissect what exactly he did and how far he actually threw it next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday. Jay Binkley and Kramer, Crame Dog, producing the operation. I'm not kidding you, man. I go back to 2012. Pat Mahomes in high school. Playoff game in Texas. White House, who Mahomes played for, 56 points. Wiley East, 63 points. Mahomes in that game, this playoff game, 449 yards, 5 touchdowns. He puts up 56 points, and they lose. 2013, Pat Mahomes, White House, scores 60. They lose to Poteet 65-60. Pat Mahomes, 583 yards and 5 touchdowns. You can't make this up. This guy put up 60 points in one of them, 56 in another. He's throwing for 43 and 5 in one, 583 and 5 in another, and losing the game. It gets me to thinking, has Mahomes ever had a defense? I'm not kidding. Texas Tech, they were 128th out of 128 teams Mahomes last year in scoring defense. I will be curious, because someone asked me, because I was talking about Tech and stuff. They said, well, you gone back and look at his high school box scores. Well, these are the only ones that matter, because these are the last game he played in the season. They were playoff games in Texas. And he scored 56 and 60 and still lost. Does this sound familiar? Does it sound familiar that Mahomes will actually have a defense this year? I'm excited to see what he can do. And I'd love to talk to him and interview him, whatever. Just, hey, what's it like having a defense, man? Do you have to go back to, like, peewee football? Do you have to go back to Pop Warner? Like, when's he ever had a defense? I don't know if you saw it Friday, but the big debut of Bubba Starling. Mahomes is out there throwing a football. Odell Beckham and Mahomes. This is what makes Mahomes fun. He goes back and forth with people on Twitter. He has fun. Odell Beckham said they're throwing it over 80 yards, you know, at a UCLA. And then you got Mahomes throwing a football out of the stadium. You've seen this video of Mahomes just launching the ball out of the air.
Yes.
And helicopters caught it, everything else. And according to CBS Sports, if you're wondering how crazy this throw was, the height of the Chiefs' scoreboard is 260 feet, which means this pass reached a height of roughly 86.7 yards. So the height on the pass was 86.7 yards. Put that on a football field, throwing it 86.7 yards, but throwing it in the air. Travis Kelce even went on Twitter, goes, I mean, that's a bomb. He wants to throw it 100 yards when they get to Mexico City with the elevation. Keep in mind, Mexico City is higher elevation than even Denver, Colorado. So the guy can air it out. But this is what makes him fun. And then on Twitter, you have Colin Coward that likes to chime in and give his hot take on everything. Had tweeted out that he said it was a picture of the video of Mahomes throwing this. And Colin Coward, who does radio, national radio host, one of the well-known guys in sports radio business, says, meanwhile, Tom Brady was working on timing and precision routes at Get Nick Right. So he's talking about Colin Coward saying, well, you know, that's all good and all that Mahomes can do this, but Brady's working on timing and precision routes. Was he really? And then Patrick Mahomes retweets that with a bunch of smiling faces. This is what makes this guy fun. Like, he's interacting with people. You know, Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills wants to have a throwing contest against Patrick Mahomes. Good for Josh Allen. Josh Allen does have a cannon for an arm, but no one is going to beat this cat, Pat Mahomes. I just think this is fun. I mean, he feels it with the league. He has fun going back and forth. He was going back and forth with J.J. Watt a while back ago about Whataburger and bringing him to Kansas City. It's just fun. He just likes to have fun and in everything he does. And throwing a football out of the stadium is just another example of Pat Mahomes having fun. Now, don't think for a second. Now, where was Colin Coward when that picture that Mahomes' girlfriend took of him reading a playbook during a tornado warning? Where was that? The guy's got a photographic memory. The guy is about as prepared as you can get. This guy has been wanting to play football since the loss in the AFC title game. He's been wanting to play. He is itching to play. This guy, all he thinks about is football. And if he takes a few seconds out to throw a football over a scoreboard, that's awesome. I want my quarterback doing that. Show off that cannon, Patrick. Show off that arm. But finally, you have a guy in Kansas City who moves the needle. He's on, you know, national TV on the talk shows. It was Jimmy Kimmel. He was on with This Week. The guy there with the champ stamp, the Patrick Mahomes, it was a big, big Patrick Mahomes picture on his back, in the lower part of the back, that Patrick, believe it or not, actually signed. I had the guy on the show last week, the guy that had the champ stamp, and he said he went out and got it tattooed right after that. So he got Mahomes' name tattooed on his back. Then on Twitter, I had another gentleman send me a picture of his Mahomes tat on his arm. Impressive. I think more and more people are getting Patrick Mahomes tattoos. I would no doubt that hospitals in town, there's Patrick being named, or if it's a girl, Patty. You can kind of do it both ways, Patrick or Patty. Although there's not a ton of Patties being born right now, but why the hell not when your quarterback's Mahomes? I know there's some Alexes, there's some Gordons, even Wachowski. His latest child has a shade of Gordon's name in the middle name. I mean, there was probably a lot of Erics. I don't know if there's many Mooses in this town, but I'm sure there might be some Mikes or Michaels or some Dannys or some Duffy. I'm just sure there is, but I guarantee you there are people naming their kid after Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen an athlete light up this town. He can do no wrong, and he goes out and has fun, and we love it. Like, we haven't had a guy that kind of moved the needle nationally. I mean, Odell Beckham's tweeting about it. He's doing Kimmel. We just haven't had this. We haven't had this kind of star power, and he seems like a gym rat to me, like he really does. Like, he can't wait to get out and play football, can't wait to get out and throw the ball around the yard. Veach has to contain him because he'll be on the basketball court doing this. He's hitting a home run in a celebrity softball game. Dude just likes to play, and he likes to compete, and I like to see it. If he's going to throw a football 86.7 yards in the air out of the freaking stadium, keep showing me that. Keep doing that. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, man, Pigs is out here having fun. There's no plays being designed. This is the off time for players. You don't have to worry until they show up in training camp. For Coward to say that meanwhile Brady's working on timing and precision rounds, no. Mahomes just out here having fun, Colin. Don't knock the guy.
I really wish that throw would have went to the parking lot. I was hoping when I was watching, I was like, this is going to go to the parking lot.
Well, it's hard to do it when you're throwing it 86.7 yards in the air because you just get loft on it, and then it's coming down.
See, I was looking at it. I probably watched the video over 100 times, trying to dissect how it happened. I honestly think it went through one of the tunnels that you walk towards the thing up there, but I really want to believe it went over the last row of bleachers up top.
I can't wait till they get to Mexico City before the game and he winds up and just uncorks it.
I think it'd be funny. He's in the end zone. He throws it into the first row of the bleachers.
Now, they're serious about Josh Allen. I talked to his agent, Lee Steinberg. He came on a couple interviews ago. I asked him, is this thing real with Josh Allen? I think there could be a charity component to it, but they were game with it. I know Mahomes is not going to back away from it. He'll take that challenge. And Josh Allen has nothing to lose. Because if he beats Patrick Mahomes, he beat the great Patrick Mahomes in a throwing contest. Now, if he loses, everybody expects him to lose. Even though I think Allen may be the odds-on favorite if they were going to do it. But, man, don't challenge Mahomes. This guy just likes having a lot of fun. The NFL has lost its mind, and Melvin Gordon thinks that running backs are the second toughest position in football. Man, do running backs need to learn a lesson? We'll talk some Melvin Gordon next.
Big Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.